Welcome to this class on preparing and presenting a teaching effectively. In this class, I'll be teaching on how to prepare a teaching and then how to deliver it effectively. Let's take a moment and talk about good teachers and not so good teachers. I'm sure you have in your school and college days come across teachers who could not teach a subject well. Some of you might have lost interest in a particular subject because of such teachers. Those teachers were not bad people, but their teaching style was bad. Or you can say they did not know how to teach. At the same time, you might have had few excellent teachers in your school or college whose lectures you never wanted to miss. Such teachers taught their subjects so clearly that difficult concepts became so easy for you. Some of us took interest in a particular subject because of our teachers. You can say those teachers were extremely talented or gifted. Such teachers are actually a gift to the world. Similarly, you will find teachers in the body of Christ who teach the word of God very clearly. Such teachers are a gift to the church or the body of Christ. It is a wonderful thing to have gifted teachers in the body of Christ. Or we should say it's a wonderful thing to have teachers who are called to be a gift to the church. We know that everyone in the body of Christ is not called to be a teacher. However, if you function in any position in the church, you will be required to teach, even if you are not called to be a teacher. What I'm going to share with you in this class is useful for both those who are called to be teachers in the body of Christ and to those who are not called as teachers. I'll be sharing some of the methods I have been using for more than 2 decades. By practicing these principles, you can become an excellent teacher even if you are not called to be a teacher to the body of Christ. Let's talk about how to prepare a teaching first. There are several different ways you can prepare a teaching, but I prefer to discuss primarily 2 or 3 of them today. I'm going to give you just the basics or fundamentals of how to prepare a teaching. As a teacher of God's Word, my purpose is to lay a strong foundation in your lives. If your foundation is well built, you can build further. You can diversify and specialize in different areas. These days, you can go to the internet and at the click of a mouse, access many teachings on any subject. Then you can copy some points that appeal to you onto your laptop and present a teaching to others. When you teach something you prepare in this manner, a lot of people will be impressed, but it will not impact anyone. It will not have the transforming power. But if you follow what I am going to teach you today, and I am certain that Holy Spirit will teach you more on this, your teaching will certainly impact people. Before we go any further, I would like to say one thing. I'm not the best teacher in the world, but I want to be. I'm striving to achieve that goal. I do not by any means claim that this is the only way or this is the ultimate teaching on how to prepare a teaching and how to deliver it effectively. I'm going to teach some of the principles I have been using for years. Some of the things I'm going to share, I learned from other teachers. But most of the things I learn while teaching others. The credit goes to God first and then to few teachers in the body of Christ who influenced me through their teachings. Please write these 7 words in your notebook or in your laptop or tablet. We will discuss these points in detail as we progress. Number 1 is accuracy, 2 is clarity, 3 is brevity, 4 simplicity, 5 is motive, 6 the application, and 7 anointing. When we talk about teaching, the first thing or the first thought that actually pops up in the mind is, what is a subject or topic? So let's talk about how to get your subject or topic first. Every person sitting in this class or listening to the recording may not be the lead pastor or the leader of a group. Let's say you hold some responsibilities in a church or ministry. The lead pastor or the ministry leader asks you to teach on a Sunday or on a weekday meeting. This offer can also come from another church or ministry that you are friends with. They don't give you a subject or topic, but they give you the freedom to decide the subject, or they simply tell you to teach whatever Holy Spirit gives you. On the other hand, some of you could be a leader with a new ministry or church. You want to teach something, but you do not know what to teach about. In other words, you don't have a subject or topic. No matter what position or responsibility you hold in a church or ministry, if you are going to teach, you need a subject or topic. The first thing you do in such a situation is to pray. Holy Spirit will give you a subject. As you pray or after you pray, a thought will pop up in your spirit. And this can happen immediately after you ask or after some time. Maybe when you are in the middle of some work. Holy Spirit may give you a subject by using any of the means we discussed in the class, Walking in Spiritual Gifts. That is, He can communicate to you through a vision, a dream, a thought, or an impression, etc. Sometimes when a leader asks you to teach, he or she would give you a subject or topic. And sometimes you already have in your mind a subject or a topic that you want to teach in your own group. Or Holy Spirit gave you a subject to teach in your church or group. In such cases, you don't need to pray for a subject because you already have one. You can go straight to the preparation section. Now that you have a subject or topic, let's talk about how to prepare a teaching. After you receive the subject, the very first thing to do is to pray about the subject or topic you're going to teach. As you seek help from Holy Spirit, He may give you a scripture or an idea to start with. Then He will remind you one or several verses you have read before. We know from John chapter 14 verse 26 that teaching and bringing scriptures to our mind is one of the functions of Holy Spirit. Being a teacher, He will give you verses that you have not read before. But He will also give you scriptures that you have read before. Write the scriptures that you receive from Holy Spirit in this manner. Write every thought that accompany those scriptures. You should devote a certain amount of time every day to pray and receive insights from Holy Spirit. If you don't get anything immediately while you're praying or after your prayer, do not worry. You will get it later. It can happen anytime, anywhere. You may receive something while you are at work or while traveling. When a thought or a scripture comes to your mind, write it in your book, in your notebook, or in your smartphone or tablet, etc. Holy Spirit will continue to bring insights and thoughts related to the topic supported by scriptures until you have a complete teaching. Sometimes you may get a few ideas and scriptures at the beginning, that is, sometime after you started praying, you will get few ideas and scriptures. After that, you may not get anything from Holy Spirit for a while, or you may not get anything at all. I would say in such cases, Holy Spirit may want you to do some study or research, and in such cases, you can use an electronic concordance. A concordance is a book meant for word search. It has an alphabetical list of all the important words found in the Bible. Under each key word, it will give you all the verses of both the Old and New Testament where that particular word is used. ESOL is one of such softwares and it is free. Another one is BibleSoft, but it is not free. You have to pay for it. Both them have built-in concordances, dictionaries, and other study helps. Bible Hub is an online concordance, dictionary, interlinear, and multiple translations of the Bible all placed on a single platform. With the help of a concordance, you can go through every verse where the key word of your topic occurs. For example, if your subject or topic is love, then you search love in your concordance and every usage of the English word love will be displayed on the screen. Then you can go through each verse. While you go through each verse, Holy Spirit will bring thoughts and ideas to your spirit. Write everything that comes to you and read the passages several times. You will get more insight as you read again and again. At this point, I would also recommend you to read my article on how to study the Bible in my blog, overcomersharvest.wordpress.com. That is overcomersharvest.wordpress.com. There I have an article. I think the title is How to Study the Bible, and I have given a lot of details on how to study the Bible, and I believe it's going to help you further. Sometimes Holy Spirit will bring to your spirit scriptures and thoughts and thus give you a complete teaching on His own initiative. In such instances, you don't need to use a concordance at all. He gives you all the scriptures and thoughts. Write down every thought, every scripture you receive. In other words, He will give you a teaching even though you have not prayed for it. He may give you a title for the teaching also. And if He doesn't, He expects you to choose an appropriate title. Let me give you an example. In the year 1997, Holy Spirit gave me a whole teaching series. Every morning when I traveled to work, Holy Spirit brought scriptures and thoughts. As soon as I sat down on a seat in the bus, I would begin to get the downloads. Since it was very difficult to write something in a moving bus in the city of Delhi, I would wait till I got to my office. And once I got to my office, I would transfer to a notebook everything I received. This continued for several weeks. I taught a series on discipleship 4 or 5 Sundays in our church in that year. Although I cannot guarantee that this will happen to everybody sitting here or listening to this recording, I would say you can pray and expect for downloads from Holy Spirit in this manner. In order to be a good teacher, you need to be a good student. Therefore, study the subject well before you teach it. Go through what you have written and make sure there is a proper flow of thoughts in your teaching. This means thoughts should be well connected. Teaching is not just giving scriptures and some ideas. Thoughts can be either progressive, that is, one thought leads to the next. Example, when you teach how to forgive someone, you will explain step 1 first. That will lead to step 2 and then step 3 in that order. Sometimes you explain the different facets of one great idea. For example, let's say you're going to explain the benefits of forgiveness. When you teach the various benefits of forgiveness, the first one in your list may not lead to the next one. The benefits of forgiveness could be distinct and independent, but they become a reality as a result of forgiveness. In such cases, we don't call them progressive, but they are simply different facets of one central idea. At the beginning, I asked you to write 7 things about teaching. Let's talk about them. Number 1 is clarity. Review everything you have written. Every thought you teach or share should be clear. Everything should be coherent. Do not say anything that is not clear to you. The second point is simplicity. Your job is to simplify what is difficult. You should not say anything that would complicate their thoughts further. I mean, the thoughts of those who are listening to your teaching. Number 3 is brevity. Teach for about 20 to 30 minutes. If you teach for too long, people will lose interest. Their mind will begin to wander. Some may even fall asleep. And you do not want to see people sleeping in your teaching or in your class. You don't have to walk people through every verse you have gone through or every verse you have written in your notes. Another point is doctrinal accuracy. When you review the teaching you have prepared, please also check to make sure that what you have got is consistent with the basic doctrines of the Bible. This is very important. If you have a thought that departs from what we clearly know, you need to keep that thought or idea separately and check with Holy Spirit again. You should not hesitate to present such thoughts to your mentor or other seasoned teachers. If you're honest, you will always know in your spirit when something is not right. The next point to consider is your motive. Your teaching should impact the people positively. It should encourage or build up or strengthen or lead people to repentance. It should help them in one or more ways. It should be a fruitful teaching. Never put people down through your teaching. What you say should not condemn people but convict them. The 6th point is application. It is important that we tell the congregation how to apply what we have just taught. So seek Holy Spirit for directions on this. We must give some practical steps on applying what we teach or what they are learning through our teaching. I recommend you teach something that you have been personally practicing. What I meant here is, before you teach something, you should practice it. In other words, don't teach something that you have not been practicing at all. For example, how can you teach people not to lie if you have not stopped lying or you have not been trying to stop lying? How can you effectively teach about the benefits of praying in tongues if you have not been praying in tongues on a regular basis? The 7th point is teach with anointing. Anointing is very necessary when you teach. By anointing, I do not mean yelling and shouting accompanied by so many hallelujahs and praise the Lords. When you are under the anointing, people can feel it. In other words, you cannot fool people. Anointing is needed when teaching, prophesying, or even sharing the gospel with someone. Let's talk about Jonah for a minute. Jonah was a prophet and he was sent by God with a message for the city of Nineveh. He just preached a message. He did not perform a single miracle. He just preached or told them what God told him, and the whole city repented. Won't you agree with me that there was anointing when he preached or taught? How can we get anointing for our teaching? Well, here are some tips. Pray in tongues a lot. Pray in tongues while preparing and editing your teaching. Pray in tongues for yourself and the people that you are going to teach. Always examine your motives. Please remember, you are going to teach God's people whom God cares about. You are teaching to help them understand God's word or thoughts better. You are helping people to understand God's ways. Teaching is like a well-cooked, nutritious meal. In fact, it is a spiritual meal served well and served with love. Your love for the people, you teach will play an important role in the anointing. I have personally experienced that if you would pray in tongue a lot the day before or the night before you teach or preach, you will experience the Spirit moving through you during your teaching. I have shared this thought with some teachers, and they too have experimented with this idea and reported back to me that they have found it successful. So you may try this, and I believe it will work for you equally. There are a few other important things you need to bear in mind while preparing your teaching, and one of them is word meanings in English language. I have seen teachers from both English-speaking and non-English-speaking countries wrongly interpreting scriptures because they have not correctly understood an English word. Please remember, English Bibles are written in US English or British English. Even if your English is good, I would recommend you to consult your English dictionary when you think you have stumbled upon something unique or different in the Bible. You may know only one or two meanings of a particular English word, while that word may have more than two distinct meanings. Let me give you an example. One day I heard someone teaching that you can bless God just like the way He blesses us. He went on to teach that while God blesses His people, we are also commanded to bless God. Then he quoted Psalm 103 from the New King James Version or King James Version, which opens with the statement, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." In the English language, the word "bless" has at least two distinct meanings and then few more closely related meanings. It can mean to confer prosperity or happiness upon someone. It can mean to endow or favor someone. It can mean to invoke divine favor upon or ask God to look favorably on someone. Another distinct meaning is to praise, worship, glorify, honor, exalt, adore, etc. In Psalm 103, verse 1, the English word "bless" means to praise, worship, or glorify God. The Hebrew word used in Psalm 103, verse 1, means a response to the blessings God bestowed on us. Therefore, most modern English versions render this verse as "praise the Lord." So I would say, even if you are from an English-speaking country, check the word meanings in a dictionary before you present some strange or unique things to the congregation. Make sure you have understood the word correctly. The idea of the greater blessing the lesser, as we read in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 6 and 7, cannot be applied in this passage, as we are not greater than God. And that's the reason the modern English versions have it as "praise the Lord." So please consult a dictionary, a good English dictionary, when you think you have stumbled upon something unique or strange or different from what others are teaching. Make sure you understand the word correctly so that your teaching is doctrinally accurate. If you can, please consult your concordance to understand the meaning of words in the Hebrew or Greek language also. That will help you further in presenting a clear and better concept or idea when you teach someone. Once you have completed your study and you are certain that you have done your best, you may consult other teachings on the same subject. Now, before you actually present your teaching to a group of people or a church congregation, you have to do a final editing of your notes. You do not have to teach everything you have written in your notes. Read through your notes again and allow Holy Spirit to edit it further. There is yet another way to prepare a teaching. And let me briefly explain that also. One of the functions of Holy Spirit is to teach and lead us to all truth. He does this job very faithfully. During your regular prayer and Bible reading, Holy Spirit will illuminate scriptures to you. Thus, you will learn many things that you have not known before. Please write everything you learn during your personal devotion in a journal, whether it's paper or electronic. In addition to that, we all go through various experiences in our lives. Some of them are good and some of them are not so good. Holy Spirit enlightens us through these experiences and teaches us some truths that have been unknown to us or hidden from us. Please remember, we go through this special training in Holy Spirit School of Life on a regular basis. Some of us learn well and fast. Some of us are slow, yet we all learn. Holy Spirit is a great teacher, and He teaches us with great patience. I would urge you to write in a notebook whatever you have learned in your study of the Bible as well as through various experiences. What you have learned during your personal prayer time or through your experience is primarily for you. But it is good to have such things written down on a notebook or journal. Sometimes Holy Spirit may prompt you to teach some of the things you have thus learned. When you are led to teach some of the things you have learned in this manner, you can go through your notes and then prepare a teaching. Since you're going to teach a group of people, you need to go through the process I explained about preparing a teaching. You already have in your notebook what you have learned and experienced. Now you need Holy Spirit's help in explaining what you have learned. The fact that you have learned something does not mean you will be able to teach it well. Therefore, you will follow the principles that I have shared earlier. As you pray and seek Him, Holy Spirit will help you to prepare a wonderful teaching using the notes that you already have. He will give you further illuminations and insights if needed. Now let's talk about how to deliver a teaching or a sermon. Since you have a well-prepared teaching with an appropriate title, it would help the congregation if they know what you're going to teach. Therefore, before you teach, tell the congregation or audience what you're going to teach them. In other words, introduce your subject or topic, then teach them. Remember, your teaching should be clear, simple, accurate, and brief. So, teach with clarity, make it simple, teach accurately, and keep it brief. Also, teach with anointing. Once in a while, you can remind them the subject or topic that is being discussed. Then, conclude your teaching with a quick review of the most important points in your teaching. And before concluding or while concluding your teaching, you should present the practical application of your teaching. Make sure you have the application part in your teaching. Unless you're using a translator, you must read the Bible references in the language in which you are teaching. You should deliver your teaching with confidence. This will depend on your preparation and anointing. Look at the audience and smile while you begin your teaching, and then throughout the teaching, make sure you look at the people and you smile at them too, because you represent the Lord Jesus and you are there to bring His joy to the people. Before you actually deliver your teaching before a group of people, I would suggest that you practice your teaching before a mirror. When you have your teaching ready, go stand in front of a mirror. Once you have completed your preparation process, go stand in front of a mirror and teach. See yourself teaching in front of that mirror, or else video record your teaching. It has a double benefit. You can see and you can hear. If no video, just stand in front of the mirror and teach. Another option is to audio record your teaching using a cell phone or a recorder. Then listen to your teaching. This will help you a lot. If you are standing in front of a mirror or if you are video recording your teaching, you will be able to see how you act or behave. If you video record your teaching or if you stand in front of a mirror and teach, you can see the different gestures you make while you do your teaching. Some of them may be very good and very helpful, but some of them may not be so good. You can eliminate some of those gestures and facial expressions that you find are not so good, or facial expressions that are not consistent with what you're saying, or gestures that are considered to be not good. And before concluding this teaching on how to prepare a teaching and deliver it effectively, I would like to give you one more teaching method or one more way of preparing a teaching. It's called spontaneous or extemporary, or we can call it prophetic teaching. In some instances, Holy Spirit may prompt someone to teach something they have not prepared. This can happen to anyone when they are in a meeting. In such instances, you must seek permission from the pastor or the leader of that meeting, unless you are the lead pastor or leader of that group, and then present the teaching. And if you don't get the permission, there's no way you can present that teaching in that group at that time. As you open your mouth and speak one or more thoughts you have already received, more ideas will flow out of your spirit. Then the flow will stop. When the flow ceases, you must stop and sit down. Do not try to add more to it. This happens to me when I teach in some other churches as a guest speaker. It happens on certain Sundays in our own churches in different cities. This can happen during your personal devotion also. I mentioned this earlier. In such cases, you write down everything you receive. Most of my teachings come to me when I am praying. I have a notebook I keep with me. Throughout the day, I receive things from the Lord and I write them in my notebook. I usually write the subject on the first line so that when I come back and read it at a later point, I know what that thought is about. In other words, I know to what topic or subject is that particular thought or thoughts related. And here I want to give you a word of caution. Sometimes the Lord will teach you something while you are in a church or in a meeting. And whatever the Lord teaches you could be for you. Everything you receive in a church setting or in a group setting is not for others. Some things are for you, for your learning. Do not rush to teach them. You need to ask Holy Spirit about it before you rush to teach what you got. As many of you know, Rena and I conduct seminars and teach classes on various subjects in our churches in different cities and also in other churches in different parts of our country. I have experienced different levels of anointing in the classes that we teach or the seminars we jointly teach. We always enjoyed receiving new things during the class. Every class I teach on the same subject has been different. Why I'm saying this? As you progress in teaching, God will work through you to deliver people through the teaching of the Word of God. Therefore, expect new insights and new revelations every time you teach, especially every time you teach the same subject. Let Holy Spirit give you more insights and revelations. Do not limit or restrict Him. I would also like to say a few things about what not to do. Never teach a negative sermon. Do not teach about a problem. Teach the solution. Never teach to prove a point. Never teach to settle a personal issue with someone in the congregation you are addressing. In other words, do not use the pulpit to attack anyone or to settle scores with someone. I've heard about church leaders doing that. If you want to say something to someone, say it directly or keep quiet. Reproof and correction during or in your teaching. You need to ask yourself, am I authorized to bring reproof and correction in this church? And if the answer is no, don't try to do it. It is always good to refer to the teaching as teaching and not message. Although some people call it message, I prefer to call it teaching. And what is the reason behind it? By using the term message, you imply that everything you spoke was from God. By using the term teaching, you take the responsibility for what you speak. So you don't want to give this false impression to the church that everything you spoke was from God and there was nothing from your own mind. Therefore, I recommend that we call it teaching instead of giving a message. Critical evaluation or judging your teaching is important. Since teachers and prophets speak on behalf of God, both prophecies and teachings need to be judged. If you have a problem with that, you cannot grow in that ministry. Never defend your teaching. Allow others to critically evaluate your teaching. And when I say others, I mean other seasoned teachers. And be open to correction and reproof, or even criticism. Before we conclude this session on how to prepare a teaching and then how to present it effectively, I would also like to say that if you are invited to teach in another church, honor the rules of that church. You are there to edify or strengthen the church. Therefore, submit to the leadership there. Stay within the time limit. You do not reprove or correct anyone. If at all you have to do it, if you strongly sense in your spirit that you need to bring a correction or reproof in that church, ask the pastor first, or the lead pastor or the leader of the house. Those who have traveled with me to other churches have observed how I behave in other churches. When I am in one of our branches, the relationship is slightly different. Even there, I always honor and exalt the local leadership and make sure I work in agreement with the pastors. We need to walk in humility. Teaching is not our show. It is Holy Spirit's show. Using illustrations in your teachings. It is always good to use examples to drive home the point or points you are trying to teach. Our Lord Jesus Christ often used parables or stories to explain certain truths. And I would say we should not hesitate to use illustrations or stories or examples while we teach. Share appropriate stories or examples that people can easily relate to. It should be simple and something people are familiar with. Use local stories. For example, if you're teaching in the city of Delhi, use stories of Delhi. People will easily connect the story with your teaching. If you happen to teach in some other cities, think of stories relevant to that particular city. When you teach in a Western culture, use stories that fit their culture. If you use a story unique to a foreign nation while teaching in India, people will be clueless. So when we teach, just remember we are helping the listeners or the audience or the congregation to understand God's word, His thoughts, His ways better. Let's do it with a lot of love and let's do it with anointing. Those who are listening to this class on podcast or watching this on YouTube can do the practice session that I am going to explain. Once you have completed listening or watching this teaching, choose a subject or teaching. You can choose any subject you like or ask Holy Spirit to give you one. Spend a few minutes in prayer and get your subject. After you get a subject, go through the various steps I have described and prepare your teaching. When your short teaching is ready, teach it in front of a mirror or video record it. Critically evaluate your teaching. Similarly, write neatly in a notebook or in your tablet or laptop everything you receive from the Lord during your personal devotions. I believe you can become an excellent teacher by following these simple principles. Please remember, we teach God's word or His thoughts to help the people understand God and His ways better. Let us teach to transform people. Let us be a blessing to the body of Christ. God bless you.